Yeah, I don't have a bit for this one, but I guess I could just like scream for a few seconds, then burp a large like oily bubble.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let's see it.
The first time that happened, I was like, all right, here we go. Yeah. And it's good. We have... Oh, man, I tried. I couldn't get there. I should have thought in advance. Oh, it's great. We have guests here representing every stage of Bella's evolution. Yeah.
I guess I'm just going to...
I only thought of that after you clapped.
I guess I'm just like, going to fuck Mark Ruffalo a lot.
Just refer to it as furious jumping.
Yeah, furious jumping.
That's it.
We were trying to remember what the adjective before jumping was.
Furious.
I thought it was naked.
I mean, either way.
Yeah.
Either way. All right. Well, yeah, let's get into it. As you know, I don't know how to start the podcast. So it'll either be something like that or something along the lines of, welcome to Late to the Movies. My name is Ben Holton. I almost said Fodcast. What does that mean? It's not anything. Podcast where my friends and I get to fill in our movie blind spots. Each week we'll pick a film that either I or a guest hadn't seen before and really should have by now. This week is the final week of Oscars season. We've had a few episodes on Best Picture nominees. We've had our gala event, The Ladies, happened just a few days ago. I think that episode came out. I haven't really decided when I'm putting it out yet. Soon. But this will bring to an end our Oscar seasons. We'll be back to normal, regularly scheduled old movies next week. This week, though, we're talking about Poor Things. The Ladies Champion, it won, I think weirdly, won four ladies, just like it won four Oscars, even though, aside from one thing, it was all different categories. Who knew? Yeah. To go through it with us, to eat pastas de nada in one bite, to go to, where else do they go? Egypt?
Lisbon.
Yeah.
Lisbon. Alexander.
Boat.
Alexander.
Boat.
They get Paris. On a boat.
The ship.
To not ask enough questions before getting in a box. We got Vaz.
I decided to forgive you, Ben.
Thank you. That's good. Greg's favorite line in this movie is, did you fuck that guy with the hook hand?
I met that all of his teeth.
Yeah. Sam's here.
Do you think they're fucking? I don't think he says fucking.
Yes.
And Bree's here.
I am also here.
It's not an established thing that you need to reference
Foz
the movie.
Just likes doing it.
Foz likes doing it. Anthony likes doing it. And I like hearing it. It's always a fun surprise because I always forget that some people do that. And it works more in person, I think, too. All right. We're going to talk about Poor Things this week. But before we do, have y'all watched anything good recently?
I sure have watched a lot.
Yeah. As people who didn't get to participate in The Ladies, was there anything from this Oscar season that you particularly liked? I mean, there's a reason we're all here talking about Poor Things, I suppose.
Yep. I mean, I'm always a big fan of Marty and all he does. Like to see that he has his third film get 10 nominations and 10 losses.
Yeah, his last four, I think it's a total of, what, 28 or 30-something nominations from Wolf of Wall Street, Silence, Irishman.
Silence really pulling his weight there.
Well, yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon and no wins.
Yep.
For, I mean, two of Leo's three best performances are in that span, too.
And one of them didn't get nominated.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think I'd probably still take him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. As my favorite performance of his.
It's definitely up there.
Then Wolf of Wall Street, those are one, two for me. And I think this might be third.
No, that seems right. That's I would agree with that.
I like The Departed. Maybe that's just really the good Boston in me.
Yeah.
But
Wolf of Wall Street's probably my favorite. I also really liked his acting in The Revenant, where the one that actually won him the Oscar. But The Wolf of Wall Street is definitely my favorite.
I still haven't of it all. It's hard to get past.
I haven't seen Killers yet, and I still really want to, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
Still on Apple.
Yep.
Not going anywhere.
Nope. Still need to steal an Apple account to get it.
But I was happy about Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, me too. Just for the sake of conversation, it doesn't have to just be Oscar movies if you guys watch it.
I was just looking to see if there's anything besides Poor Things and Barbie that I've seen. I don't think there
is. Yeah, mine has only been Poor Things and Barbie.
Besides, like, Spider-Verse, you know.
Oh,
like,
for the other nominations.
Boy and the Heron, happy that got the win.
Yeah.
I mean, I do really like Across the Spider-Verse, but I just think A Boy and the Heron should have won.
Yeah, it's just one. It's just the one movie, and it ends. Yeah. So I think that gives it a big leg up.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that one to get on streaming services because I've been really wanting to watch it. And I just missed it in theaters. Yeah, I think it's going to be on Max soon.
Yeah.
Because they have the rest of the...
They keep the Ghibli partnership mm-hmm. going.
And I think they just renewed that too.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Smart. Okay.
Yes, they did. It's yeah. Nice. I don't have Max. I sent them such an angrily worded letter that I think they'd make fun of me if I subscribed.
I mean, I don't blame you. I still have them, but like, I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, they're just trying to get me to watch terrible like TLC shows, and it's like, oh, and yet you're taking away all the good stuff that I liked. And I just wanted to see that Coyote movie, that Wile E. Coyote movie. Yeah, it looked dope as hell.
Yeah, and I've heard great things from whoever was able to see it.
Yeah.
I haven't watched much.
That's okay. It's totally fine.
Watching new season of Game Changer, as you can imagine, which has been really good.
I really liked the Sam Says.
The Sam Says episode is so good. The end of the Sam Says episode is very good.
I don't think I finished it yet, so I guess no spoilers.
Yeah.
I liked when they dropped the body.
The drop the body was so good, and especially Lou just being like, if I get to a point where you drop where a body and curse. I don't flinch, call somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Some stuff I want to get into that may or may not make it, but I want to talk to you about Talk to Me.
Oh, God.
So here is the cadence of my weekend. It's my birthday tomorrow as we're recording this. It's my birthday a week ago as this episode releases. And, I wanted to go see a film. So yesterday as we're recording, this is the timeline is not important for this story, and I'm just going to cut all that out. Okay. On Friday night, I watched Talk to Me finally. I was just sick and tired. The A24 movies take so long to get to non-paying rental
really
streaming.
Do, yeah.
And it was still like a $7 rental, but I was just like, I just got to see this flick.
That was exactly how it happened for me, too. I was like, I am tired of waiting for this to be free. I'm just going to rent it.
So I rented it. I watched it on Friday night. And then I was feeling like, and then the movie I wanted to see over the weekend for my birthday that no one wanted to see with me. I only asked Kay. So Love Lies Bleeding, it's the second movie for Rose Glass. Her first one was Saint Maud, came out a few years ago. People really liked it. That's kind of a horror, sort of a psychological thriller. This same deal. Kind of more of a psychological thriller, very neo-noir. Going into it, I had seen a lot of comparisons to if Cronenberg made a female bodybuilder movie. I said lesbian the first time. I didn't mean to shy away this time. I just remembered that one of the main characters is bi, so it's not technically just lesbians. It becomes a plot point that she's bi. Kristen Stewart thought she was only gay. Mm-hmm. She gets mad at her briefly, but it's actually about something else. You know, relationship fights.
Yep.
Ed Harris is in it. He's awesome in it. I really liked it. It's been a little divisive, but more leaning towards that this is cool. It gets weird. Like I said, there's some body horror in it. I knew the Cronenberg stuff coming in. What I'm absolutely a sucker for and what I was hoping for going in, it's a neo-noir. So I was like, ooh, are they gonna make some David Lynch references? And they do!
Is Keanu Reeves going to be in here?
No Keanu, unfortunately. No. Yeah. But he's very dark because it's neo-noir. Well done.
Is the thing.
It took me a second.
There we go.
I was like, I guess John Wick's kind of a noir. No, it was more surface level.
That's me. Surface level only.
Anyway, that movie's really good. The important part about Ed Harris is being in it. So I watched that yesterday afternoon and then I came home and I was like, another horror movie that I've been putting off for a while. Kristen Stewart's in it.
Oh.
And it reminds me of an Ed Harris movie. So I watched Underwater last night, a 2020 box office bomb. What isn't a 2020 box office bomb?
Bad Boys for Life.
That's true.
Yeah, Sonic.
And Sonic.
Yep. Invisible Man? Pretty sure that did well.
Yeah. It's a Blumhouse, so it made a profit.
Yeah.
You know it made a profit. Ed Harris, of course, in The Abyss. Underwater, of course, ripping off The Abyss and Aliens and a bunch of other Jim Cameron movies. And just any like claustrophobic undersea. It's also Alien. And it's also Aliens. It's also The Abyss.
And T.G. Miller's there, which is also kind of
so
scary.
It's the most, this was filmed in 2017 or whenever it was actually filmed and not put off now. T.J. Miller is a character made entirely out of Punch-Up, like every T.J. Miller character ever. One of his first three lines is, so it doesn't do the thing that good movies in this genre do, which is it gives you 40 minutes to hang out and care about these people before the shit goes wrong. The shit goes wrong before Kristen Stewart even meets up with another character. It was still overall good, but the second character that she meets in person is T.J. Miller. And one of his first three lines is calling her, a flat-chested elven creature. And you're like, I guess that's a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, oh, they let DJ Miller cook in this one. I mean, the red, yeah. If you don't know what, like, the twist is that...
They're not underwater. There's no water.
They're on the sun. It's the least wet you can be. Now, so if you don't know, like, what the creature is, don't look it up, because it, like... You think this is just sort of like dumb, lazy kind of, but fun? Because I just like wet, claustrophobic horror movies. And it's really a thriller, but then there are like actual monsters that show up and you're like, oh, I guess this counts as creature horror.
Mm-hmm.
The actual creature that is providing the horror, it gets really goofy in a really good way.
All right.
The middle sags, the beginning and the end. Pretty good. Worth All a watch. Right. It's just on Hulu. So I didn't have to pay to see it. So, and it's like 93 minutes long.
Ooh.
Perfect. I'm going to cut that down a little bit just to put the focus on Love Lies Bleeding. Really good. Highly recommend. Poor Things. We've all seen within the last 3 months, at least, because it came out December 8th or whatever it was. Mm. So maybe that's 4 months. I don't know how to count. No, 3 months. I'll stick by it. Numbers.
Yes.
And for this month, we're not doing It Has to Be Within the Last Couple Days. I've gone over that 4 times now. Your fault if you didn't listen to the other episodes. All to say, we all are eligible for a 1-minute plot summary. It's a kind of plotty movie. Anybody feeling up to it?
I guess I could try.
Thank you.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. Bella Baxter is a little baby brain who's put into a big person. And the big person needs to figure out how to be a person and lives with God. And then leaves God to go fuck. Then she fucks for a while. Then she starts to read. Then she starts to fuck again. Then she learns again. And then she says goodbye to God. And she does some brain surgery and she ends.
So what do you think that the actual language on the casting call was for all the French people that are in that brothel, specifically the men that visit it?
Freaky, weird.
Extra French. the most French possible looking
whatever
dudes.
Whatever French you got, we'll take it.
What's the French name for John? Is it Jacques?
Yeah, Jacques. Yeah. We've talked in the ladies and just among my friend group that has the Discord for the Oscars about the guy who's doing like the crab walk.
Yeah.
We like that guy.
Yep.
He's a good guy.
He knows what he likes. There's something to be said for that. The movie though.
We can talk about just the French guys in this
movie.
Yeah,
we'll talk about the French guys. The most normal one is the probably like least normal one, the one that brings his kids to take
notes.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
One takes notes and the other one doesn't.
That part they had to cut out of the release in Britain, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't have your kids watch you have sex? Watching.
Yeah.
Or is it because it's a choking part? You can't choke during sex.
No.
British people don't.
They're very vanilla.
Yeah. Any
only
sex
crab walking and touching a girl's hair is what we like.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's the kid stuff.
Yeah.
I can't have that part in. Or it's the note taking. They just think it's too clinical. Yeah.
They were going to hate Masters of Sex, though.
This one, the top prizes, most of them, on the ladies category. Sorry, on the ladies show that we just did. What'd you guys think? I liked the movie a lot.
I like a lot.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
Good.
Big feminist film. It was very good.
Yeah, good amount of enthusiasm in the room for it. It always makes these more interesting to talk about, I think. All right. I guess the big talking point coming out of this one is Emma Stone, and is she just like one of the greats now? Kind of. She produces this movie, obviously picked this project, loves working with Yorgos Lanthimos, has another Yorgos Lanthimos movie out in June of this year.
Is that a short film or an actual?
Like, no, an actual film.
Wow,
Kinds,
I didn't know that.
Kinds of Kindness, starring Emma Stone, second billed as Jesse Plemons, third is Willem Dafoe. So
Ooh. Let's
get it. Cannot wait. Mamadou Athey's in that. He's in Underwater. Now I have to keep that whole thing. He dies pretty badly. He implodes.
Oh, he
in the new movie? In Yorgos' movie?
He might. I don't know how weird the dial is. Apparently, they finished filming that before Poor Things, so I guess that's why it's coming out so soon.
Also, it's good that he's like Yorgo. Like, it's been like 5 years since The Favorite and Poor Things, so he should be just pumping him out now.
Yeah, and he's gonna get a blank check. He's gonna. It'd be really funny if he goes the Gerwig route and it's like, ah, yeah, Netflix got him to make their Star Wars series. Like, I guess. I don't know.
I want to see him do Micro Machines.
Yeah. Somebody's gotta. Is that, the controversy is that's not Vin Diesel? They gave Vin Diesel Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
They did? They already did Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie. Real Steel.
Real Steel, but I think it's like Milton Bradley hired him or Parker Brothers or whoever. Whatever. This doesn't matter. This can't possibly make it. Emma Stone's really good in this movie.
She is. Just, I mean, even when I was like doing some research for this movie and I was looking like reception, people who liked the movie always said like, oh, Emma Stone's really great in this. Even people who were kind of like meh about the movie were all still like, but Emma Stone, really great.
Yeah. Her acting is impeccable.
Yeah. She is doing kind of a Frankenstein thing and kind of a baby thing.
Yes.
I guess she's not, I guess I've heard her talk about trying to actually like move like a toddler was too weird. So she has the sort of staccato movement for the first act really of the movie instead, which is definitely more of a Frankenstein's monster kind of vibe, I guess.
And I've seen a lot of interviews with her talking about like the process of this one. And she said, essentially she broke it down to like, Bella has like 5 stages and for a big, like a tough part for her was that she had to do stage 1 where she's essentially a baby and stage 5 where she was like a grown up pretty much back to back because it was both at the Baxter house. So those were done at the same like filming schedule.
Right, yeah.
But she still like nailed it.
Yeah. Also tracking her progression throughout the movie is the costumes that get like more pointy throughout the movie.
Also just her, I mean, obviously her speech language,
yes, vocab and opinions and motivations.
And like in stage 3, you can tell like, oh, she, like when she's like describing something, she uses like 3 different verbs to like say like what she's talking about. And then like, you see her like slowly just like, just speak more naturally and then even speak more with a, claim for herself.
The progression of her language and stuff, like she just ends up being just straight up scholar. Like she's an academic at the end.
Yeah, yeah. A very worldly person. Mm-hmm. And the other thing tracking her progress is how much all the men in the movie find her less appealing the more self-possessed she becomes.
Yep.
I guess aside from Rami Youssef, but he still is like down to marry her when she's a baby.
Yeah.
His character is very polarizing for me.
Yes.
Like the fact that he agreed it that early was, that's rough, but I at least there's consistency.
There's just like no good men.
Yeah, no. Because even Willem Dafoe was eh.
He's doing some real unethical shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. She's mostly like he's family, but she does say like, she can't really forgive him.
Right.
The butler who got the gun pointed at him, I think he might have been all right.
What butler?
It's at the general's house.
Well, you know the general.
Oh, okay. Yes. who spills the soup? That's the lady.
The butler, he was eating his food and the butler was about to take it. And he was like, does that chicken look like it's been eaten to the bone? And he has like a gun on him. He's like, no, sir, I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe that guy was okay.
He might have been.
You could just quit your job, though.
I don't know if he could.
He's just a butler. He can disappear. There's ways. It's
the door seems to be locked.
Fantasy Victorian England, kind of. Sort of.
Crabwalk guy was probably okay.
Yeah.
He paid.
Yeah. He paid. It wasn't a problem.
No. He didn't have sex, as far as I can tell.
It seems like he was respectful.
Yeah. It all worked out for him. Yeah, I like a lot of the movie. So Christopher Abbott, who shows up at the end, he's the general, right?
Some
military.
They call him the general, like, when he's just a goat for a bit.
Yeah.
It's weird that he's hanging out with Shaq and trying to sell car insurance. Anyway.
That's a day job.
Every like couple years, Christopher Abbott pops up in something. I'm like, it's the guy from Girls. It's like a show that he wasn't even on for the whole time. So the last season he was a regular on that show would have been in like 2011. So I got to find a different pull for him.
This now.
This one, yeah.
Maybe this one. He's in the last bit of this, and I haven't seen Sanctuary, but apparently he's good in that.
What Sanctuary?
Him and Margaret Qualley. It's a... She's like a dominatrix, and it's like about power plays. It's a very much a COVID movie. It's just both of them, and they're in a hotel room. Apparently, he's really good in it. I haven't seen it yet. Good movie. And is that all we have to say about?
Yeah.
No, I like this. Structurally, first act, we're black and white. We're in the Baxter house.
Yep.
Willem Dafoe's...
Her first prison.
Making stuff happen. Yes, very much so. He's got a few hours of prosthetics on. For his whole shoot.
4 hours of prosthetics in the morning and then 2 hours to take it off. I think he started like at 3 a.m.
God.
He couldn't sleep during the prosthetics because it would just mess everything up.
Yeah, makes sense. He's really good in this movie.
He is.
I know Academy goes for like the bigger performance, but I would have had him over Ruffalo. I would have had both if I could.
Supporting actor was just very tough this year.
Yeah.
Very stacked.
Stacked. But I like Dafoe a lot in this movie.
Same.
And Rami Youssef as a student of his at the whatever school.
School for cutting people up.
School for bad doctors.
School for bad doctors.
Unethical doctors.
Unethical doctors. So I know the book is very Scottish to the point that the Scottish people are upset how not Scottish the movie is. But I guess Willem Dafoe's kind of doing Scottish.
I think he's the most Scottish in there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like much.
Yeah.
But, you know, sorry, Scotland.
I like the music. The score in this is really good.
Yes.
There wasn't just such a steam train of Ludwig Göransson doing a Nolan movie. I'm assuming this would have gotten some love on the award circuit. But anyway.
I mean, it got the nominations.
It did get the noms. That's true.
It's just, you know, Oppenheimer's too big.
Too big. Too bad. Just even like during dialogue scenes.
Oh, I haven't done a bow in a while.
Hey, Robert, how are you doing? Yeah.
But I like the sort of weird atonal kind of that's happening, especially in the beginning in the black and white.
Yeah, it goes very well with her. Yeah.
I didn't know anything about the movie when I went into it.
Nice.
And like, for that first, like,
it's
I don't know.
It's a rough hang for 20 minutes or so.
The first like 10 minutes or so, I wouldn't even say it was like, I was just getting over how bewildered I was at every stage of the game, where I was like, is this the whole, because like, again, I hadn't looked into it. So I was like, I hope this isn't the whole movie. Like, I hope the whole movie isn't Emma Stone just walking around clapping.
She starts masturbating pretty soon.
Once I realized she was masturbating, I was like, oh, okay. Well,
okay. Now I can relate to this. I've been there before.
I've been there. When does
the furious, kitchen table?
When does the furious jumping start?
God,
pretty shortly into it, Ruffalo shows up as
Duncan Weatherby.
the most fuckboy
shitty
name
guy.
Of 1800.
Yeah, as consummate fuckboy, he's having a good time.
Yep,
I like how he says words in this movie.
Yeah,
I like his delivery. It's not an accent that exists in the world.
No, it's like...
But it's extremely fuckboy coded.
It's like Laszlo Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows, like 70% of what Laszlo's doing.
Yeah, I wish they had gone to America to see how he pronounces New York City.
Tucson, Arizona.
He's great in this movie, too. I mean, we don't have to go through every performance, but I think all the acting is good, and I liked it.
Yeah, that's right. That's accurate.
But he convinces her to run away... Willem Dafoe's like, she's got us to go experience the world.
Also when he's first he climbs up to Bella's balcony and he can't get in cause he's an idiot and it's also locked. Yeah. That's essentially like the Prince Charming coming to save like the princess from like the monster from her like captive.
Yep. Except he just wants to have sex with her and also keep her in a box soon. Literally.
As soon as she got a bit of freedom and he couldn't control her, he was like, what kind of boxes do I have?
And he had a big enough one, fortunately for him. But then they go to Lisbon. And I've not been, but I'm assuming it still looks like that.
Yeah, it looks like, the sky, it's actually pretty polluted over there.
The sky also looks like watercolor painting just because of all the clouds. it looks good.
Yep, they got the custards.
Oh, God, so good. We had some pun-themed appetizers at the Oscars party, but also somebody just got pastas de nata from a bit Portuguese bakery. And just eat them.
Did you guys like just stuff them right in your mouth? Yeah,
you have to eat them in one bite. One person did do that.
Are they alive?
They're okay.
They threw up after. They walked around for a little bit.
Was it Robbie?
No, it was Corey. And yeah, he's just had a lot of practice, so we thought he was the best candidate to try.
A lot of practice of stuffing a whole thing in his mouth?
No, he's just had a lot of pastas de nata. They were really fucking good.
Yeah, they are.
It was that. We had calzones of interest. There was some I'm Just Buffalo Chicken dip. What else is there?
Kind of a walk to get to I'm Just Buffalo Chicken Dip.
The K was capitalized.
It could have been I'm Just Kentucky Fried Chicken or something like that.
Then we would have had to get Kentucky Fried Chicken, I guess. It's not really an appetizer at that point. Just here's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Just
throw a bucket over there.
I guess we could have done that, yeah. There are just Cherry's Jubilee tarts. That's not also just from holdovers.
Yeah.
It wasn't also not a pun, but
they don't need to all be puns.
Yeah. When there are plot points in movies that are desserts that are purchasable nearby, that worked. What else? Poreo things. They were just Oreos.
Okay. So, so someone just brought Oreos. The Kentucky Fried Chicken's over the top.
Yeah, because it was like snacks and appetizers. You're describing a large bucket of greasy chicken.
You could just get...
They were doing tapas.
You could get corn chicken.
They're not doing an entree. It's tapas. Need to explain tapas?
You could actually just get like 10 things of mac and cheese from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Do you just want Kentucky Fried Chicken and mac and cheese right now?
Kentucky Fried Chicken makes more sense than I'm Just Buffalo Wings. That's all I'm saying.
We didn't say I'm Just Buffalo Wings.
I thought that's what it was.
And in the buffalo chicken dip, you could use tortilla chips of the killer of the flower moon.
Okay.
Tortilla chips of the flower moon.
That's good.
Yeah, I tried to make them sweatier. I thought it was funnier to make them very sweaty, all the names. Hence poor Rio things. So in this movie.
Four things.
They have all the furious jumping montages.
Yep.
She leaves. He gets mad. She explores Lisbon a bit by herself.
Apparently that set that she explores was like all done in like one place. Yeah. And it was like three stories high.
Oh, wow.
Looked awesome, apparently.
Yeah. It does look really cool. There's, she's hears some Fado music. I guess that's an actual Fado singer.
Yep.
I'm sure there's people in this area who probably popped for that. Because they love Fado around here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets in a box and they're in on a boat. And speaking of award shows, Jared Carmichael's on the boat. He hosted the Emmys a couple of years ago something. Yeah.
He hosted something.
He hosted something and they didn't like it. Or he hosted the Golden Globes or something. I don't know what he did.
I think Globes went for no...
yeah, because they just tweeted out the winners last for a while. Year. and some old lady. They have fun. Mark Ruffalo tries to murder that old lady. They make fun of him while he's doing it. Really
he gets hit in the throat. Yep. He's going to go to the bar.
Yeah. What is it? Liam Neeson on the boat. People getting punched in the throat over here.
But Bella starts to grow beyond just having furious jumping with
She gets introduced to philosophy.
Yep. Starts reading books.
Starts reading.
And capitalism, kind of.
Yep.
Yep.
Or the concept of poverty, I guess.
And then Gerard Carmichael shows her like, hey, things aren't that great.
Yeah.
I like that they had the beat with Gerard Carmichael where they were like, he was like, I got mad at how like innocent and naive you were. And I went overboard showing you the level of suffering. Yeah. Like, I thought that was a nice beat to be like a realization. Because I think there's been a lot of people in this world, especially like with the internet, the way it is, where someone will come in having fun about something. And then your comment is like, there's this awful thing happening. How the fuck can you do that? Yeah. And then it's like, okay, now everyone's sad. Great. You know, like there should be room for happiness.
I did like that he apologized for it. And that Bella even was like, yeah, you know what? I was actually happy. You showed me that.
Yeah. Cause that's the weird balance of it. You should know that.
And she had she hadn't really experienced that before. So
yeah.
It's just, you know, the way that it happened.
She gives away all of Ruffalo's money that he won gambling. And since he doesn't have any money anymore, they get dropped off in France.
And they also try to give the money to the poor, but she just ostensibly gives it to two Cruise employees.
Yes. And then they don't get dropped off in Paris because that's not a coastal city, they obviously. They get
dropped off in like Marseille or something,
I think.
Yeah,
but the next time you see them, it cuts to Paris.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the winter.
And they have no money.
Seems like they've been there a while, or they stay there for a while.
Duncan's pretty pissed off at this point.
Yeah, it's not going well for him.
He's gonna kick he's gonna kick someone's dog to death.
Ruffalo's really funny in this sequence.
Yes.
She starts working in a brothel because she realizes she can get money for furious jumping. Mm-hmm. And that's a long sequence. She's there for a while. She makes a friend. She meets Catherine Hunter, who's playing the madam of the place.
Yep, who bites her earlobes.
It took me a second. But I figured out the other thing I've seen Catherine Hunter in. Definitely a thing you've all seen, I'm assuming.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. Maybe not Brie.
Is it French?
It's not French. It's extremely British, but very big.
But very...
Game of Thrones.
Harry Potter in Order of the Phoenix. She's the neighbor that testifies at the Wizengamot.
Oh, Fig?
Yeah. After the Dementor attack, says one was fat and one was thin.
Yeah.
Because she thinks that they're asking about Harry and Dudley.
Yep.
And if you haven't seen Harry Potter, that's where the Dumbledore shrugging meme, that scene is where that comes from. Anyway. And so these are the two things I've seen her in. She's great in this.
Yeah, I really liked her. I loved her with the... like, she's covered in tattoos. I kind of like her whole body language. Yes. Yeah.
She got some mention for supporting actress at the ladies. I think if she had been in like a couple more scenes or just not in just one small slice of the movie overall, then she probably would have gotten,
especially considering this movie's decently stacked with like a bunch of supporting actors too. Yeah. So
people who sort of just float into the movie for, you know, a 15-minute stretch.
Yeah.
That's kind of it for a lot of them. Or even just for a montage, like all the Jacques that come through the brothel.
Yep.
There's a great scene. There's a few great scenes. Do we want to talk about hanging around
our favorite Jacques though? Or is it all just the crab guy?
It's the crab guy.
I like the
guy who laughs at her joke.
I was about to bring him up. I liked him.
Tell me something painful about your childhood and then I'll tell you a joke. It's good.
Tut-tut.
The line, "We are our own means of production," is fun. I laughed at that. I don't mean to just be recapping. Anyone else can talk. I just had coffee. So
they have the brothel stuff, I think, is pretty good. Cause I know like this has been stuff that's been like shown before, but like deconstructing something that traditionally is seen as, you know, like a space that's very negative for women, and can be, I'm not going to say like, oh, all brothels are, you know, a philosophy like enlightenment paradise where, you know, like, but you know, for her to come out of that thinking, I learned so much about the world and I've been so free, paired with Mark Ruffalo being like, well, now you're disgusting to me. Like, I can't do that. You know, like, I'm
gone. But yet he's still obsessed. Accept her back.
Yeah.
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 Especially just the stigma of like, you know, doing like sex work and like, she's called a whore by Mark Ruffalo and then later by the, housekeeper of, at the Baxter Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And then by, Margaret Qualley's character.
Yep. Who gets introduced at some point. They're cutting, while she's traveling, they're cutting back to the Baxter Manor and they've made another one.
Margaret Qualley's introduced.
Which is great. Nice to see Margaret Qualley pop up here. It's a sanctuary reunion because Christopher Abbott is also hanging out at the manor at the end. So we were all happy to see that sanctuary reunion. I like all this stuff. So I guess talking about the brothel is probably a good time to mention it is a little divisive in terms of people criticizing the feminism in the movie, not being surface level enough or having such a focus on sex work and sex. And then also comparing it to another movie that came out this year, Barbie, and the way feminism is presented there. I don't necessarily have a side or a pick or whatever, and not to just straw man that argument because I don't have the talking points and it's not my argument in the first place, but that's a thing that's part of the discussion about this movie too.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, and it's, I mean, feminism can be a lot of things, and I at least like that they, like, they're trying to unstigmatize sex.
For sure.
Especially sex workers.
Yeah, let's get Sam's take on this before we get to Brie.
Let women speak, I think, is the most important thing. Boz, wouldn't you agree with that
statement? I would agree with that statement. Ben, would you agree with that?
I have to think about it more.
Okay. I mean, it's the jury's out on it.
We should, the three of us, should make a movie about feminism. I think that would be
strong.
Get some racial themes in there, too. We could really change the world here.
This is good stuff.
Let's
move on to the next topic.
Yeah. So some of my friends who felt queasy about it were at least compelled by the fact that Emma Stone is a producer of this movie.
Yes. And I did, during like the circuit, Emma Stone has been going around being like, they, and Yorgos and a bunch of other people were saying like, hey, we tried to make it as comfortable as possible for Emma and for the other guys. And
But yeah, I do think it does a really good job, because I think part of the, all of like the sex that's in the movie and the empowerment, I think it's supposed to make you uncomfortable, like, quote unquote, like they're trying to shock you into like basically normalizing it. Barbie doesn't go into that, that part of it, but it's good that we had another movie that wasn't afraid to go into that, because like there's so many movies of men just literally the entire plot is them fucking and like no one really bats an eye. And then we have this movie where it's about women empowerment and discovering that. And there's so much of it. And now they're like, there's this, oh, that's not feminism. It's like, it's absolutely feminism. Like,
yeah,
we're trying to normalize that women also like to fuck. And it's you can make a movie out of it and it still be a good philosophical movie.
So this was mentioned in the ladies episode, but probably pretty late into it. And I don't blame anyone if they don't get all the way through it. One of the kind of stupid, always stupid, but fun to read and then make fun of people who vote for the Oscars. There's always articles from, you know, Variety, Hollywood Reporter, you know, E.com about these anonymous ballots from people who vote for the Academy Awards who are giving their take on different categories. And one of them this year, I forget which one of the voters said this, and it's anonymous anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But they said that they just couldn't get around the fact that all these men want to fuck a baby. And it's like, right, yeah, that's the point. And they weren't saying that they didn't realize that's the point, but they just like couldn't get around the idea of how uncomfortable they were with that being then depicted.
They're very naive then, because men love to infantilize women.
Yeah.
And they love, there's lots of shitty men that they want that ability to manipulate, and they want the innocence and the naivety so they can continue to control and manipulate, and they don't like when they get too aware.
Anyway, so next month is Zack Snyder month, and we're starting off with Sucker Punch. Did Zack Snyder direct Sucker Punch?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
You got it. You nailed it. But also on that that point too, it's what was the point again? I forgot. We went on the Zack Snyder thing.
The Sucker Punch joke was too good.
I had to support that and remember.
Wasn't
like
listening
Zack Snyder
to women. No, the fact that they're shitty men.
I want to talk about Zack Snyder more instead of listen to women.
I just had it and then I lost my thought.
Sorry, Voz. This is my fault.
That's okay.
See, you said sorry to Voz.
Don't worry, I accepted his apology.
But a blanket apology to women.
But not specific women.
No.
Well, yeah, that's too personal. Also, sorry, Brie, for depriving us all of Vaz's great point.
My God.
I hope this plays well.
Hopefully.
It's going to be rough.
Brie, what was your point so Vaz can make his point?
That they're shitty men that specifically like naive women.
Yeah. And it goes on with like Duncan wanted to be with Bella when she was just very manipulative and she could just have sex with him whenever. And then when she starts to become more aware and more educated, he actively is calling her a monster, and like he goes insane and he just wants to like ruin her.
He becomes more of a moron the more educated she becomes, and it's hilarious to watch.
Yeah. At one point, though not at the end, which I appreciate, he is in an asylum.
Yes.
Yes. He does get out of that asylum, though.
What?
He does get out of that asylum.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I like it. It's not at the end. It's just when Rami Youssef is trying to track down Bella in France. He goes to see Duncan at an asylum. And then he's just not in an asylum later. He's just bopping around, which I like.
He does have that great line, like, look, he's a monster. He's coughing. He doesn't breathe air. He breathes blood. And then Rami's like, he has cancer, you idiot. And his response is, oh.
Oh, my God. While I do like Willem Dafoe's performance, I think Mark Ruffalo's performance of just being an absolute idiot is just just unbeatable.
Yeah, it's good.
It was a great year for idiots last year with him and Ken and Strauss to an extent for Robert Downey.
I mean, Leo and Killers of the Flower Moon, willfully idiotic. And then the last bit of the movie is, as I've mentioned before, it's a little unfair, a little surface level, because it is about discovery and empowerment. And so there's stuff going on. But as far as conflict and stakes for the main character, that's really the last 20 minutes of the movie that there's something tangible, even though it is all these different versions of prisons. She essentially is not in real physical immediate danger, I guess. And again, it's a little unfair, I guess, but very literal, physical, real immediate danger at the end once Christopher Abbott shows up and takes her away from the wedding. And another version of, not that this guy only wants to fuck her when she's like a baby, but he only likes her when she's depressed, docile, whatever, druggable, you assume, probably. She's wearing her pointiest collars at this point.
Yep.
And this guy sucks. He's like very cruel. And it seems like they, in her former life, bonded over that cruelty, maybe. Or maybe that was, he's just telling her that they did. And obviously she was at a place where she tried to kill herself.
Yeah.
So probably not entirely on board with that, at least to an extent. And yeah, this is where some stakes, such as having the main character be threatened with genital mutilation.
Genital mutilation, death.
Or death if she doesn't submit to that.
I do like his line of, she says, will you shoot me in the back of the head or in the front of the head? And he said, I'll shoot you in the back of the head. So I know that you were trying to get away and that I wasn't being rash.
The last 20 minutes of that movie, I think, is what, well, especially the last like 5 minutes, but that last part of the movie was definitely what solidified it as a 5-star movie for me.
Yeah. 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 It's a step up in terms of, it's definitely a heightening for the character too. But I feel like he really drops the ball on that standoff, because I mean, she's got like the whatever sleeping agent, I guess.
That's chloroform. Yeah. Engine.
And she's clearly going to throw it in his face, and he does a bad job preparing himself for that.
I don't think he expected it.
Like, yeah, he's just underestimating her.
Yeah.
Yes. Which again is probably the point.
Right.
Yes.
But some precautions, dude, come on. You're a military strategist.
He had the gun in his hand.
Yeah. He had the gun in his hand. I think he was absolutely like super cocky. Yeah.
He just shot himself in the foot, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he, from all the stories that he probably heard about, through Mark Ruffalo's character, who's an idiot, probably thought that she wasn't capable of doing something like that and wasn't as educated as, she ended up being at the end. So I think he just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And he's so, like, I imagine he was so used to just having her under his thumb the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not the same brain.
For sure. And speaking of not the same brain, he gets brought to the Baxter house as he's losing a lot of blood, but Bella doesn't want him to die, but they do replace his brain with a goat's brain. Did you, like me, think that that sequence being intercut with Willem Dafoe dying... Did you think that they were going to take Willem Dafoe's brain and put it in Christopher Abbott's body?
Oh, I think he died a decent amount. He died after once they brought him back. But no, I didn't think that.
But he was dying
imminently.
And it seemed like it was cancer mostly in his body, not like of his brain.
No, I did not, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think I did.
I don't remember what I thought at that moment, but I was there was a lot going on. So.
There was a lot going
yeah.
on. They put a goat's brain in it.
Yep.
I definitely didn't expect the goat, even though they had like Chekhov's goat like earlier. But I thought they were gonna have something where they were gonna make him maybe like brain dead or something, or like they figured out a way to like reverse and make his brain back to like when he was a baby or something. I wasn't expecting putting a goat brain in his head.
But it's good. He's on all fours. He's eating grass.
Yeah.
He seems happy.
Harmless.
He yells or whatever.
Those last 5 minutes were impeccable.
Yeah.
Just wait. Fate worse than death. You are in a goat's body now. Because his brain's probably aware enough.
Yeah. He's and what else happens? Her friend from the brothel's there. They're drinking. They're hanging out with Margaret Qualley.
Yep, Margaret Qualley catches a ball.
She's catching balls,
showing that she can improve as well. Yeah. The whole movie's about like trying to improve. I mean, besides the feminine stuff with all that kind of stuff, but it's also like improving yourself and showing that you can improve, and showing that you can be happy, because that's a kind of the big thing for. Willem Dafoe's character as well, because he created Bella from like just an experiment because he was like interested in it, and then he started to have feelings for her that he wasn't expecting and he hadn't had before, and like that was his growth of like, I guess I can like love, considering he never felt love before, and he was also just mutilated by his own father.
I was worried that Willem Dafoe's character was going to end up creepy. Like, it was going to be, like, a weird, like, I created you, like, I thought it was going to go in a completely different direction. I'm very glad it stayed as, like, a father figure kind of way.
Well, he's a eunuch, and it would take all the electricity in London to, and his paternal needs seem to have come up.
Yeah. They didn't,
mostly the logistical issues.
Yes.
They didn't announce that until later, though, right? That he was a eunuch?
He was talking to Rami.
It's when he asks if Rami Yusuf wants to marry her.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rami Yusuf's like, oh, I didn't know if you made her to be your mistress.
Right, yes. Right. Which he kind of just casually like states, like, I just assumed you created her so you could fuck her.
Right, yeah. I think it was a subversion of a trope there.
Yeah. This is another thing I want to talk about. Just a more general thing about Yorgos Lanthimos movies, how he creates these world, like these absurdist worlds that everyone in the world is kind of like, yep, nope, I agree with this. I'm obviously going to turn into a lobster if I don't find anyone to love.
Yeah.
Or like, sure, we will have to just kill one of our family members because this one guy told us to. And he does that again here, but it's just our world, though, in like Victorian time.
Yeah.
And it's shown that our world is the absurd one, and Bella, who has lived in, who is created from like nothing and didn't have all this, the society's normal stuff guiding her throughout her life, she's the one calling out like, no, that's dumb. I obviously want to just go out and not be like stuck somewhere because someone just told me to.
Yeah. So I mentioned this 1-4 ladies. I misspoke. It went 3. Ruffalo for supporting, Emma Stone for actress, and Best Picture. At the Oscars, though, it won Emma Stone for acting, but then craft categories, production, design, costumes, makeup, and hairstyling. And the look of this thing is pretty incredible.
Yes.
And the sets, I mean, build sets. This and Barbie is just really a big check mark in the last year for build actual sets with actual artisans doing things, make interesting costumes and
make interesting places.
Yeah.
Like the brothel like looks incredible. Yeah. Lisbon, I mean, everything looks incredible.
Lisbon was probably one of my favorite ones. Like it seemed like it was almost like a children's cartoon. Like it was very
like
bright.
Book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was amazing.
Like I would have loved to have been there like when they were filming it, and like Emma Stone just got to like, I guess, walk around for a while that was happening, and I was like, that seems awesome.
Right.
One of the, I forget who said it, but one of the jokes is like, oh, it's a pretty good movie for filming entirely inside a Cheesecake Factory. the scene that most looks like a Cheesecake Factory that we didn't mention from Lisbon is the dance sequence.
Yes. Which is actually filmed on location. It's not in a studio.
Oh.
It's a Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah, Cheesecake Factory.
That scene's great.
Yep.
I like the push-pull of the dynamics of them. It's kind of a fight dance.
Yes. And she's constantly breaking away from him. And he, Even when like he gets on her, she turns it around and like it's almost like choking him while he's like they're doing their weird.
He's doing his kicks.
Yeah.
It's great. It's so weird. It's just good.
And there's that guy who has like he's like kicking a horn while he's squeezing another one, and he's just standing, and it's a weird thing.
As a couple times, my friends have disappointed me by saying that it reminds them of Wednesday, and I say Tim Burton fucking wishes.
Yeah,
he hasn't been visually inventive in 35 years. Anyway,
well, they did put
Beetlejuice, right?
I think you got it.
They put Sam Holt in the yearbook in Wednesday, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
if you put a Sam Holt in there.
The beginning of, like, whatever it was, episode 3 or 4, when Gomez is in the principal's office and he, like, points himself out in the thing.
It's pronounced Guzman.
Guzman.
It's just a dumb joke. I had fun with it. Luis Guzman's in that Luis show. I haven't watched
it. Luis Guzman, whose name I always read in my head from the Community bit where he's looking for people and he just screams, it's Luis Guzman. The name next to his in the yearbook is Sam Holt, which is just very funny for
that
me.
That is funny.
And me specifically. And no one else. Maybe my parents.
I would have found it funny. I didn't watch that show.
I happened to pause it hilariously. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to go pee or something. And we paused it. I walked out of the bathroom or something. I was like, what? Wait a minute.
What happened?
What? I didn't mean to do this.
Yeah. Fred Willard, what happened?
Texting friends, like, did they just do? Is it imprinted on whatever your name is on the Netflix account?
Netflix AI show creation.
Oh God.
That's all I need to talk about movies for. Yeah. Good movie. Anything else we want to say about before we get to ratings?
Trying to think of scenes that I did really like the scene where Mark is trying to kill that old lady.
And she's just like, all right.
Because she said, like, oh, I never thought I would die like this. I'm happy to see it or something. And Gerard Carmichael was trying to stop him. And was like, okay, that's what she wants.
Yeah, my mistake. It's good.
I just really liked the progression of her education and stuff. It seemed without the pretentiousness, it was a lot like, or and also like the decline, like Flowers for Algernon, where you can like visually or in the book too, because you can the spellings and stuff get better, but just like the visual representation of getting more and more educated was very fun to see.
Yeah, 100%. All right, on a scale of 0.5 to 5, on any scale of your choosing, using anything besides stars, what would you give Yorgos Lanthimos's Oscar-winning 2023 release, Poor Things?
I would give it 4.5 out of 5 Lucy Barkers.
Okay.
She's a poor thing.
I'm going to give 4.5 out of 5 Babies Who Must Be Punched.
That's good.
5 out of 5 goat brain surgeries.
4.5 out of 5 specific phrases that you can say for the rest of this dinner. I think he only gives her 3, but that seemed that seemed low for the star count, you know, your star equivalent.
And then she needs to go punch a baby.
Yeah.
I simply must punch this baby.
That was so good.
Or whatever the line is. It's something
something like that. Yeah. that's Poor Things. The one question we've been asking to thread all of the episodes together in Oscars month has been, what category would you introduce at the Oscars if you could introduce any category? It's ranged from serious to silly. We've had, you know, best first feature for a director, or best young performer, breakout performance, best voice acting performance, stuff like that. Stunts. No one's mentioned casting. That will be an actual one starting 2026.
Yes, which I'm happy about.
Me too. So maybe Killers of the Flower Moon could have won something.
Yeah. No, I would have lost. It would have lost.
You don't just find Sturgill Simpson and Jason Isbell, you know? Anyway, if you want to go first, you're already talking.
I was going to bring up stunts, but that is something. I mean, they've been wanting that for a while anyway. And
they did a montage this year.
Yeah, great. I don't know, like best craft table or whatever. best boy. That would be nice.
Yes.
Best boy boy.
Yeah. Best boy boy.
Hey
boy.
Best boy boy.
It's like the Adventure Zone zone.
Yep.
Someone else had said best, like good boy for an animal yep. performer. Which Messi would have won more than Divine Joy Randolph won supporting actress this year.
A dog has won an Oscar before, back in the early days.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein won like 30.
Yo!
more thanked than God at the Oscars for like a 25-year period.
I would probably do... This is kind of a weird one. I don't think this would be prestigious, but... I think best line read would be really good. Best line read drama, best yeah. line read comedic, because I don't think they should overlap.
No.
But like, I'm just thinking about the like, it's perfect for a quick little award because you just send out somebody, you know, and the nominees are, and it'll just be like.
And you can actually show acting
exactly.
clips.
So you just yep. show like, you just show like, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Or like, I'll just use that bit. He's like, Emma Stone, poor things. Like, I must go punch that baby. Like, it just cuts yeah. to the next one. You just show five really good line reads.
From immediately after my scale, he lists the things and then she punches him or slaps him and he goes, yep. ow. The way he says ow there.
The Emmys couldn't do it because it would just be five Matt Berrys. Yeah. Every single year for as long as What We Do in the Shadows is on.
There are a decent amount of good ones from this year.
There's a two minute Laszlo saying things weird montage on YouTube. If you don't watch What We Do in the Shadows, I encourage everyone to go watch it. I
mean, my algorithm sends me reels of that pretty yeah. often on Instagram, and I always watch them.
They're good.
For a not very serious one, but I do think it'd be hilarious if you have best sex scene. I feel like that would be absolutely hilarious to try to rank that.
There's an award show that does that.
They're normally considered Hollywood movies. Yeah. Well, not this part of Hollywood.
Yeah.
On YouTube, Patrick Williams did that for his award show.
Yeah. Then the other one I was thinking, I don't know how well it would actually do, but like, in a not silly way, like best LGBT representation or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's also like, if you count like video game awards to it, how you can apply those to movies, like accessibility and stuff like that would also be interesting to see how movies can adapt to being able to help people with disabilities also understand the movies and stuff like that.
Do the game awards do an
yeah. It's a very
they
small
do, right?
one, but yeah, accessibility is one of them.
It's
yeah.
one of the ones that gets like that, read off.
Yeah,
by
I was gonna say it is, right? But so is like best story.
Yeah.
Like
no,
they need more room
choices.
For commercials.
Yeah, the game awards was very awful last year because it was all just ads and
it's a game trailers wars now.
Yeah.
It was then, barely even that. It was just a bunch of ads.
Oh. Jeff Keighley's good friend Hideo Kojima yeah. has to come out and just sort of speak extemporaneously for 15 minutes.
Until Jordan Peele arrived to walk through a door to just talk about how much he also likes Hideo Kojima.
I am excited for that game collaboration. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I wish the Game Awards was more prestigious, but that's a different podcast.
Yes, it is.
Jeff Keighley's trying his best. We all appreciate Jeff Keighley.
Yeah.
His awkward presentation aside. He doesn't know what to do with his hands.
I'd say one change that I think, you know, just the enthusiasm online for the songs that people cared about this year. If you changed best, this isn't a me thing. This isn't Amanda Dobbins on the Big Picture podcast thing. Songs should only be songs that are actually in the movie. It shouldn't just be a random ballad tacked onto the end credits, which is most of nominees. So it was good that the two things people cared most about were the two Barbie songs that mm-hmm. actually happen in the movie right. and that makes sense in context.
And the Jeff Baptiste one, I think the movie was about him writing that song. So at least
that makes sense. That no makes one's sense. Seen yeah. that movie.
that's the biggest problem against that movie.
Yeah. It shouldn't be like an ironic ballad tacked onto the end of Eva Longoria's Cheetos movie.
I want to know, like, what, maybe there's some information's online, maybe it's even where you just talked about, but, like, what the percentages of tacked on, like, because I think
it
even,
makes up a lot of nominees.
Is Celine Dion's song, I know it goes over the credits, is that?
It plays as an instrumental yeah. a bit in the movie.
I would say that could count Actually, I don't know.
It would have been really weird if the vocal performance was in that movie.
Agreed.
Philadelphia, the song that
Now I'm remembering Kathy Bates turns on a photograph and then and at one point she's like, "You guys gotta hear this."
You know that new sound you've been looking for?
I was trying to get there.
Well, listen to this. And then the guys who are playing the instruments while the ship is sinking.
Hello, Billie Holiday? This is...
And then, so my slightly less serious, though still interesting, corollary to that for my own category would be like best needle drop, best pop song used in a thing. And again, another way to get Scorsese back in the in the game.
Ooh, best donk. So like the donk from like Titanic where the guy hits the propeller. You need to see if any movie of that year can top that donk.
You think of, so I assume that was CGI, but like to a degree at least, you know, someone probably jumped off and they CGI'd him spinning.
Yeah.
But like that is like kind of a touch of the stunt thing of all like time. You think about all the actual iconic stunt things that happen and the dudes that did that just get nothing.
Ooh, you know the donk that John Wick Keanu Reeves does in John Wick Chapter 4 where he jumps out of a like a four-story building and he lands on half of a car. That's kind of a donk. That would have been pretty good. That would at least been nominated.
We saw a great donk in Bad Boys for Life with the guy that gets thrown off the roof. That was a good donk.
It's a punchline donk.
It's a punchline donk. Rare.
Those are tough. So is the one in John Wick 4.
Yes.
That's a laugh. That's a laugh moment.
I'd argue the one in Titanic is also, but I don't think it was intentional.
It's a heightened moment for sure. You're not looking for comedy in there.
No, when you're watching,
it's more just like, ooh, that guy got especially fucked up.
Like he was going to get fucked up, but like, man.
Yeah. And then you think of it in terms of, would I rather freeze to death in the water or just donk my ass off the propeller? It's like,
if I was going to donk
as
my
long
ass,
as he died immediately on that donk, I'd take that.
As
long as
did.
One of those people up there saw me get donked, it will be where and survive the not freezing to death.
I got
to
tell Jim Cameron about this in 50 years. I assume that's when Jim Cameron heard from actual Rose. This is a real story.
The 60s?
Yes. He was alive. He's an old man, right?
I think he's 60.
No, he's got to be older than 60.
He may be 70. He might have been like a teenager.
Is he alive in the 60s?
He's only alive in the 60s. I don't know if he's getting letters in the 60s.
Yeah, he's interested in underwater exploration.
1954.
54. Okay. All right, good. He would have been at least 12.
Yeah.
So essentially your dad's age.
Yeah. My dad barely wears any motocross shirts.
Barely. Still breaks it out every once in a while.
He could. Jim's always wearing motocross shirts, and it's the same one in every interview he gives. And I appreciate someone with a routine. One thing that it doesn't fit into any category, but it's just like, what accent has Austin Butler used in a movie this year? And that man... I think he's completely lost his real voice because I can't tell you how excited I was in Dune 2 to find out that he's not using a normal voice, even though the Harkonnens don't all sound like this. Have you seen Dune 2?
Yeah, I have.
Have you seen Dune 2? He is simply doing a Stellan Skarsgård impression.
Yeah, and he's nailing
it.
It's
so fucking funny. He starts talking and you're like, oh my God, he's just doing a Stellan Skarsgård impression. Why? That's just one guy from that planet. No one else from this family sounds like Stellan Skarsgård, but he's just like, my way into this character is he probably sounds like Stellan Skarsgård.
I thought he did so well, but one of my friends thought he did so well that they thought he was one of the Skarsgårds. He didn't think he was Austin Butler.
The other ones also don't sound like that.
No.
They have normal voices. They all grew up in America. Oh, it's so funny, though. I was so happy, and then I was like, punching K. I was like, he's doing Skarsgård.
What?
I can't wait to watch that on a plane.
This is Villeneuve meant. No, watch it on your phone. Come on. Respect the auteur.
Watch it on someone else's phone while you're behind like a fence and you're looking through a cork hole.
So yeah, thanks. Thanks for being here. We had Vaz, Sam, and Bree.
Yep.
All right. To close out our Oscar season. After we get off air, I'm going to ask your opinion on what next month's theme should be. I don't know yet, so I don't know what the next episode will be.
Yeah, we'll talk at the after party.
Yeah, at the after party, which weirdly also hosted by Vanity Fair.
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy, they got Jimmy Kimmel back.
Well, thank you for listening. You can find our stuff on Linktree, linktr.ee/late-to-the-movies. No ladies design this year, but you can get the classic 2023 ladies t-shirt or poster or mug. It's TeePublic. You can put on anything they have, really. It's stick figures representing the films Everything Everywhere All at Once, Tar and Banshees of Inisherin fighting over a bagel, you know, as they did on the podcast. And then none of them actually even won Best Picture last year. That was the Fablemans.
Oh.
But I didn't know how to... I didn't know how to make a stick figure look like childhood trauma, so... It's a joke that took me a full year to come up with, apparently. I didn't say it last year. Thanks, everybody. Tune in next week.
Bye.
Wow.